So turn in your Bibles, if you're not there already, please, to 1 Corinthians chapter 7. We're going to start from verse 25. 1 Corinthians chapter 7. I'm going to start from verse 25. We're continuing through the book of 1 Corinthians. And I'm calling today, "The Time is Short," which we're going to see here in this passage. Please stand with me if you're able to. We'll be sitting for a bit, so it's good to stand. We're going to start reading from 1 Corinthians chapter 7 at verse 25. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 25. It says, "Now concerning virgins, I have no commandment from the Lord. Yet I give judgment as one whom the Lord in his mercy has made trustworthy. I suppose, therefore, that this is good because of the present distress, that it is good for a man to remain as he is. Are you bound to a wife? Do not seek to be loosed. Are you loose from a wife? Do not seek a wife. But even if you do marry, you have not sinned. And if a virgin marries, she has not sinned. Nevertheless, such will have trouble in the flesh, but I would spare you." Verse 29. "But this I say, brethren, the time is short, so that from now on, even those who have wives should be as though they had none." Father in heaven, we ask that you please would open up your holy word to us. Speak to us here, Lord. Help us to see how, yes, the time is short, and how this would apply to us here today in 2024. Oh, Lord, we thank you for your holy word. We thank you that the grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. And what you declare in your word of truth, you write it as if it's already history. And yet these things that we're going to look at today are future to us in our timeline. Oh, Lord, but we thank you for how accurate, how awesome you are in your word. You're the only one that has true integrity. Help us to learn from you. Last but not least, Father, we ask that you please would reveal yet again that you are the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. Comfort the hearts that are here, for you do ask in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Thank you. You guys could have a seat if you would. So I remember when we used to go to Greg Laurie's Harvest Crusades, Crystal Lewis would sometimes sing. And this is one of the songs that she would sing. You see it here on the display. "People get ready. Jesus is coming. Soon we'll be going home. People get ready. Jesus is coming to take from the world his own." So this is a song that she wrote and sings called "People Get Ready. Jesus is coming." That's what the chorus says. It's a song about the rapture of the church, as well as the end times that you and I now live in. Jesus is going to come back for his bride, the church, and he's going to take away his bride from the world. That's what she's singing about. I love that. Again, you could probably search for that on YouTube and see some of the times she's sang at the Harvest Crusades. I think they upload those things. But we're going to see today, and we're going to have a brief prophecy update. So glad you all are able to join us here today. We're going to have a brief prophecy update on what God's word says. And as we look at this, it says, again, look at verse 29. The time is short. Time is short. So here in chapter 7, as we've been studying through the Bible, chapter 7, the Apostle Paul, of course, teaches on marriage. He speaks to singles, speaks about divorce, speaks of all these sort of things. He mentions here, yes, singles can get married. Those married should stay together. But, in essence, don't stress, don't strive to get married. It's kind of the emphasis here. Look at verse 29 as he flows through the thought. "But this I say, brethren," verse 29, "the time is short." Time is short. Why should we not stress or strive to get married? He says, because of the present distress. The present distress. So what was going on at the time when Paul is writing this is that Christians were getting persecuted. And remember, the guy that wrote this, he was the main persecutor that we know of as chronicled in the Bible at that time. He was actually killing Christians. Amazing how he could write. It's like, understand. And he knew the audience he's speaking to. Time is short. under the present distress. What distress, Paul? Well, there are people like me that were killing Christians. And soon Rome at that time would be persecuting Christians and killing Christians, making sport of it, making fun of it. It's chronicled in history that Rome would soon burn, and one of the emperors, one of the Caesars, would start blaming the Christians, is what we believe tended to happen. So the present distress, the time is short. So soon they would start to see this. And then Paul gives one of the main or major reasons why you and I must stay focused on eternity and not just the temporary life. Okay, this life will soon be over, as we say. And it'll soon be past, but only what we do for Christ will last. Amen? Okay, so yes, so while he's teaching on things like marriage, divorce, single life, yes, singles can get married, but understand, under this present distress, the time is short. We need to stay focused on eternity with the Lord and not just our temporary comforts. Make sense? And that's really a challenge that we find exhorted all throughout the New Testament, including with us today. So he says the time is short. So for those of you like me that like digging in and doing in-depth Bible study and research, I want to share this with you. He says the time is short. This word for short I have here displayed on the display. It's this word that you could say can mean, I circled here, one of the neat definitions. This comes from my Bible study software, just did a screen capture. Wrap up. Time is wrapping up. Under the present distress, time is wrapping up. And it's only used, this Greek word's only used in one other place in the entire Bible. We find it in Acts 5, verse 6. You see it here on the display. Only one other place in the Bible where it's used. And this is the story you guys might recall. Remember Ananias and Sapphira? They were in collusion. Ananias really got just, you know, found out, killed, really. And then the young men came, they wrapped up his body. This is the word. They wrapped up his body. The young men arose and wrapped him up, carried him out, and buried him. It's concluded. His life is dead, gone. What do? They wrapped up Ananias. This is this word. Time is short. Time is wrapped up. This is what he's saying. Not just time is short. Hey, come on. You know, maybe your mom's calling you. Hey, dinner time is 6. Come on, you only got 5 minutes. Come on, clean up your toys. That's not what it's speaking of. Not chronos type of time. This is a different word even for time. This season, this period of time that you and I have right now, it's already wrapped up. Wrapped up. So in other words, the time is short here. It's like saying the time is wrapped up because these are the last days. And we need to be more and more serious about our walk, our relationship with Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen? We need to be. We must be. So some of the things we currently see in our world today, it's gone crazy, right? Gone crazy within these last several years. Some of the things that we see of this time being wrapped up. Well, when you study end times prophecy in the Bible, also called eschatology, the study of biblical end time events, we see that Iran is a major player in the end times. I remember hearing about this in the 1970s and on. In the 1980s, when I started to learn more about the Bible, attending Calvary Chapel fellowships and learning more and more about end times prophecy, Iran, China, it's like, what? Crazy sounded, right? And now we see how real that is, especially within the last couple months. On April 13th, 2024, for the very first time ever, Iran launched a direct attack on Israel. That's never happened before. Here's what Rear Admiral Daniel Hagari said. He said that Iran fired 170 drones, more than 30 cruise missiles, and more than 120 ballistic missiles on Israel. That's never happened before, where Iran would directly attack the land of Israel. Previously, Iran would use their, what we call, proxies, others. One of them is Hamas. They would fund, give them weapons, and utilize them to attack Israel and its citizens. But now they did a direct attack. And what happened? Well, we learned in the news that miraculously, it seems, 99% of these drones, cruise missiles, and ballistic missiles were intercepted. That's never happened before, too. So some claim that that's probably something along the lines of a miracle. because statistically that should not happen. And some see that this was nothing other than the hand of God protecting Israel, even as God says in his word. So Israel, God's beloved, God's chosen people. Okay, think about that. So that's Israel and what's going on right now in the Middle East. And it's continuing to escalate more and more, as we see in the news. But how about here in America? It's gone crazy, hasn't it? Crazy, crazy. Anti-Semitism right now is at an all-time high. All-time high. As of earlier this month, May 6th, this is only May 26, 2024, but on May 6th, only 20 days ago, student protests on almost 140 university and college campuses, 140 of them. They have occurred in 45 out of 50 states, as well as the District of Columbia. Now, the protests, they're seen as pro-Palestinian. However, the real deal, because there's a supernatural spiritual truth that's coming up, it's not only pro-Palestinian, it's actually anti-Israel. And some of the chants that you hear from Iran, not just death to Israel, but death to who? America, on American soil and American campuses. Amazing. So student protests, they're in response to Israel's war with Hamas. But the protesters, they conveniently seem to forget that Hamas started the war when they killed 1,200 people when they invaded Israel on October 7th, 2023. Not long ago, it seems. And they took over 200 hostages. So now Israel is simply trying to protect itself, trying to recover the hostages. And remember, Israel didn't start this war. And guess where these student protests started? Here in New York City, at the famed Columbia University. They now go in the history books as that. All right, so that's what's happening on our campuses in America right now. Time is wrapping up. Time is short. Also, a lot of major stores and restaurants are closing. I don't know if you guys know this, especially in Manhattan. So more than 11% of New York City storefronts now, the stores, they're empty now today versus 6% in 2019. So it's become a ghost town in a lot of places in Manhattan. So why did many of these stores close? Well, rising costs, called inflation, shoplifting, retail theft. You've seen the news. You probably saw a lot of videos. These guys just like brazenly grab them. Now, I was growing up with, as a kid. If you see that kind of stuff, you know what happened. You get home, your parents go, "Oh, pow!" You know, it's like, what? No way. I mean, you steal a toy from your friend down the neighborhood, like you get that. These days, they're going free. Here's what's happening with the restaurant industry and other stores. Just recently, Red Lobster. Have any of you guys ever eaten at a Red Lobster? Red Lobster. They announced they're going to be closing at least 50 restaurants nationwide. You guys heard of Rite Aid, right? Rite Aid's all over New York City. Not no more. Last month, it was announced that Rite Aid is closing 53 stores across 9 states, and they filed for bankruptcy. Earlier this month, I know this, my wife knows this, and if you guys, if you love music, Sam Ash, they're on Music Row in Manhattan. Sam Ash, earlier this month, announced it's going to file for bankruptcy and will close all 42 of its stores in the United States. Sam Ash. We have one here, or I'm not sure if they closed already, on Queens Boulevard. There's some on Music Row in Manhattan. 42. Express. Now, I don't shop there. Some of you ladies may do. This is one of those big mall kind of stores. Express. They filed bankruptcy, and they're closing or selling more than 100 of its stores. If you heard of 99-cent-only stores, they're shutting down all 371 of their stores because of why? Inflation and theft. So this stuff's not just happening here. It may emanate from here in Manhattan, but we're seeing it all across the nation. Inflation is bad, and I don't want to get into the politics of that. It's just bad. So we got to understand the times, understand the day and age we live in, and like Paul is writing about here, time is wrapped up. Time is short. We have to know. So while we see the world's time is being wrapped up right before our eyes and time is very short, I believe that now is a very good time to do a brief prophecy update. Brief. I covered over this. Some of you guys may have been here when we gave an update. The last time I did an update, gosh, I got to do more of them. was about a year and a half ago. Wednesday, October 5th, 2022, I gave an update on the red heifer, the status at that current time. Some of you guys might remember this. So I just updated the date. So this is today, Sunday, May 26th, 2024. Now, I've been waiting for this time, and I've been waiting for a good time to update you guys on what's currently going on. And some of you guys are like, red heifer? What is that about? Is that a big lady with red hair? Like, what is that? No. It's an animal. So the red heifer. We're studying end times prophecy. Here's what happened, though, just to bring you up to speed a little bit. On Thursday, September 15th, 2022, five perfect red heifers. They're unblemished. They got to be born, like they have to have all the limbs intact and everything. Five perfect unblemished red heifers arrived at Israel's Ben-Gurion Airport from Texas. So this is for the Temple Institute to use or potentially use. All they need is one. And we showed a video here. I didn't have time to put it in. I did a video. It's up on YouTube. You could do a search for like red heifer prophecy or something like that. It'll come up. I saw recently there's like 35,000 hits on it now. Why? Because now in the recent past year or so, there's more and more interest, especially as people see in America, like how crazy things are getting. People, even non-Christians, realize there's something weird going on now. This is not like a gradual increase. It's like a sudden thing. Since the shutdown in March 2020, all these riots going on now, riots in these campuses and universities, people are just thinking, wow, what's going on? And we're the people of the book, people of the word of truth, right? We need to know. So be ready for the soon return of Jesus, but also be ready, be well-versed in God's word, because you're going to have people asking you, we got to know. Amen? So I want to give you a little update of what's going on right now. So back then in September 2022, five perfect, unblemished red heifer candidates were delivered, all the way from a rancher who's a businessman, in Texas. They arrived. He partnered with Israel, or I should say with a lot of Jews, and partnered with the Temple Institute. And all of these red heifers were under a year old then. Regarding the video we showed early in our servants' meeting time, and it's only about 10 minutes long, so if you guys want to see that again, you can go on YouTube, just search for, me and Susan put that up under our Word Stand YouTube channel. You just do a search for like Red Heifer Prophecy. You see like my funny face on there. But you could watch it and you get a good background of what the red heifer is, what the Bible says about it, why the Jews are waiting for it, why they need a red heifer. Now, when these red heifer candidates were delivered to Israel, again, it was September 2022. They were under a year old. Just do a simple math. It's 2024. This September will be 2 years since they were delivered. The red heifers were under a year old when they got there. And guess how old they have to be in order to be used in the ceremony? Three. So according to the Jewish rabbi Maimonides, he states that the red heifer has to be offered in his third or fourth year. Do the math, Christian. I reported on this already a while back. I'm like waiting, like, when is that time going to come? And by the way, there's a group called Bonai Israel, a gentleman, the Texan, has been doing more announcing about the fact that, like, I'm excited for them to use this. This guy wants them to use it. He believes in end times prophecy. He reads the Bible. He's kind of a preacher at heart. He doesn't believe exactly everything that we do in the timeline, but so what? He's a Christian, a brother in the faith, and he's excited to see these things happen. He's like, I know that I don't need it, but the Jews need this thing, this red heifer, in order to get rid of their sin. But for us, we believe in Yeshua. Amen? He is who the red heifer was prophesied or pictured and depicted to be. So as God says in our text today, the time is short. Here's the reality as we stand right now in May 2024. The time is short. At least one of the five red heifer candidates is believed to have been disqualified. So let's say there's four, maybe less. So it's believed now, until we get a better update, currently there's at least one that is still red heifer candidate. It's a candidate. And once it turns three, these Jews, primarily led by the Temple Institute in Israel. You can check out their website. I've been following them for years, always wanting and watching. Main thing is tell me about the Red Heifer and what you guys are doing, because they are the main entity that's pushing for the rebuilding of what? The third temple, which we believe it will be. Why? Not because we want it to be, not because we love the Jews in Israel, which we do love them, but because God's word says it. He says it, we believe it, it'll happen. Amen? That's it. So any of the red heifers that are still considered candidates will soon be very old enough to be used in this Jewish ceremony where they slaughter the red heifer. And what this means for you and I today, check this out. Today, May 26, 2024, what this might mean is that before 2024 is over, you may hear an official announcement that the red heifer is going to be slaughtered. Think about what that might mean in our lifetime and how that sits. Like, what about my five-year plan? Forget it. Throw it away. Okay. So this is why the context here, the time is short, why it makes sense. Okay. So you may hear. I'm not saying you will. You may hear. I checked on YouTube, the time that I did my video 3 years ago, I watched just about every video I could on the red heifer and wanted to filter it through the Bible. And I'm like, I know there's a lot of Bible teachers out there, a lot of Calvary Chapel folks. Most of them don't go in depth like I love to do with the red heifer, but I did not find a single video that I liked that I thought was biblically accurate. I found like wacky Bible prophecies. It's going to happen now. That was like 3 years ago. No. And so thus the reason why I did the video and put it out there. And there's like 35,000 or so views on it. There's people that want to know. Okay, so I want to make sure that you guys know, and you can know for yourselves, your walks, get serious about the Savior Jesus and your walk with them. And we need to share these things with others. Amen? All right, so according to the Temple Institute, and I'm just sharing with you guys what they're currently thinking of and what they've already planned. Here's what it says in Numbers 19, verse 3. This, by the way, Numbers 19 is the red heifer chapter in the Bible. It's like, where is that in the Bible? It's in the Bible. Numbers chapter 19, so it's in Torah. It's in the first books of the Bible. It says, Numbers 19, verse 3, you shall give it to Eleazar, the priest, that he may take it outside the camp, and it shall be slaughtered before him. So, okay, this red heifer needs to be slaughtered outside of the temple area. And the Temple Institute, this is where I got this picture here. Temple Institute is preparing to offer up a red heifer on the Mount of Olives, a very prophetic place we see in the scriptures. When it's available, I'm sure they're just counting the day, like, oh, God, please protect this red heifer. I'm sure they're praying and waiting. So the Temple Institute, they already know where they want to do this sacrifice, this slaughtering, this ceremony. And this guy named Byron Stinson of Bone Israel, that's the group that brought the five heifers to Israel, the red heifers, in 2022. He said recently he's excited and wants the Jews to do this ceremony soon. What does that mean for you and I? It's like, I don't want you guys to be blindsided. Okay? As long as I'm a pastor here, I want you guys to know current things to look for. We watch and wait for Jesus and his soon return. Amen? Okay, and the rapture, he's going to take away his bride, but we only have a short time. And I'm not saying it's going to happen in 2024, okay, don't get me wrong. But when you see the indicators, just like I remember hearing Chuck Smith say, when you know Christmas is about to happen, how? Because you see at the stores, the malls, the commercials, you go into stores, you start hearing, what, Christmas music. You start hearing and seeing in retail all these displays about what? What happens in November? Before Christmas time, you start hearing about Thanksgiving. When you see Thanksgiving coming, you know that's a sign or indicator something else is coming right away. What is that? Christmas time's coming up. So in a similar way, when we know and study God's word of truth about end times prophecy, there must be a third physical temple. It can only be in the city of Jerusalem, in the land of Israel, and only on one parcel, one property of land. It's even depicted in the picture. The Temple Mount. So just know, that's what to look for. But why do they need this red heifer? Why do the Jews need the ashes of a red heifer? I'll tell you why. You You see here on the display. They need the ashes of this red heifer to make what's called the water of purification. Who here remembers John chapter 2, the first miracle of Jesus, Messiah? What did he do? He turned water to wine. Even Chris Tomlin sings about that, right? Water you turn into wine. I'll let my wife sing that. What's so important about that? I hear so many Gentile Christians say, oh, look, Jesus loves weddings. Jesus loves alcohol. I used to be a wino saying those kind of things. Now I know it's like, no, it had nothing to do with alcohol. Nothing to do with him supporting parties or weddings or even the fact that he likes alcohol. See, he likes alcohol better than... No. What was the reality? He was giving a signal to the Jews. He used this red heifer water, the water for purification. It's like giving a signal to the Jews, you're not going to need this anymore because the way for you to be purified is through who? Him. Yeshua Messiah, as prophesied all throughout the scriptures. He would soon take upon our sins, including theirs, upon himself, die on the cross, be buried, be resurrected, and ascend into heaven. He was giving them a supernatural, a spiritual picture. You're no longer going to need this. And guess what? Since the time of Jesus and the destruction of the second temple, which occurred in the year 70 AD by Rome, Titus came in, destroyed the city, destroyed the temple, took it apart brick by brick, stone by stone, like Jesus prophesied. And because the gold that was in the temple melted, they took apart those bricks, those rocks, and they got all the gold out. That city and that temple was destroyed. Since then, almost 2,000 years ago, there's not been another physical temple. So guess what? We know there's going to be a third temple. So the Jews need this red heifer to make ashes for the water of purification. Again, the first miracle of Jesus Christ. Check it out in John chapter 2. It's a spiritual signal to the Jews. Not that Jesus loves weddings or parties or loves alcohol and wine. He's saying, you're not going to need this anymore. But the Jews that are still trying to fulfill and to comply with Torah, with God's law, they know they need this. This is why I love studying the Bible, studying the tabernacle, seeing Christ, Messiah, in Torah. Also studying a special Leviticus chapter 16, which is a chapter about Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement. That's the holiest day on the Jewish calendar. Got to study that and know it. They're commanded to send a high priest into the temple every Yom Kippur, every Day of Atonement, but they cannot. And so today, the Jews cannot get rid of their sin. This is why they need a temple. This is why, in order to use the temple and the priesthood, this water of purification, it has to be used so they can consecrate over the priests. The priests, they know, are in sin. They can't use the priests. They can't use furnishings. And the Temple Institute, and through their connections, have already reproduced all the furnishings of the temple. They even have an Ark of the Covenant. It's not the same one that was used at the time of Moses. Did not have the presence of God, and it won't. Because the Ark was a big picture of who? Of Jesus. Ark means keeper, holder. It was a depiction of what kept the law, kept the covenant. And that's a picture of Jesus, the only one that can keep the law. Amen. They're not going to have one, but they try to rebuild one. So they have all the furnishings, but they can't use it. Even if the Jews today had a physical temple built, and even if they have a priesthood, and by the way, Temple Institute's already trained up priests. They already have them, the Levitical choir singers. They're already prepared and have been. All they're waiting for is the ability to build a temple. They're waiting for consensus amongst other rabbis and other groups to build a temple. But even if they had everything already in place, the missing key is the red heifer. So the key for the Jews and what they need in order to use this thing called the temple and to get rid of their sin is the red heifer. That's why we want to study this and know what the Bible says. So without purification, the priests, the temple, they're useless. They can't use them. They want to sacrifice to get rid of their sins. They're commanded. Every breath they take in, every breath they breathe out. How many laws are in Torah? 613. And the Jews, the law, studying a law, trying to be law-abiding Jews, they know it. There's no way they can get rid of their sin. Either accept Yeshua as Messiah, which many of them won't. That's why we're crazy to them. We do. Amen. We receive Jesus or Yeshua as our Messiah, our Christ, our Savior. Either they receive Him or they reject Him, and sadly, they will receive a coming lawless one whom many people call that Antichrist. He's going to be a Messiah. Guess what? A false Messiah. They're going to receive Him. And you thought maybe I was crazy years ago sharing this. They're being set up right now to receive and be deceived into having this false Messiah. Why? He's going to bring about the cleansing of the temple, restore the building of a temple, and some believe that he's going to be the one to bring in this red heifer, which means he may be alive right now on the planet, about to come in. Okay, so they need this to sacrifice. So to the Jews, again, what does the red heifer signify to them? The building of the third temple on the Temple Mount. This is what Maimonides, this old Jewish sage, this rabbi, brings to us. How many perfect red heifers has Israel had? Only 9 since the time of Moses, or Moshe as they call him. Since the time of Moses until now, only 9 perfect red heifers. They have to be perfect. They cannot have 2 hairs. 2 hairs? Not red? Yes. They can't go bald like me. They have to have every hair red. They can't have 5 non-red hairs. Has to be perfect. And then they got to be how old? At least 3 years old. Okay. So the ones that this group, Bonet Israel, imported out of Texas to Israel, they're coming soon. They're going to be 3. We're talking probably this year, 2024. So Maimonides wrote, there's only been 9 perfect red heifers from Moses until the destruction of the second temple, which is 70 AD. And again, who do many of the Jews believe? Now, not all Jews. A lot of Orthodox Jews that hold to the building of a third temple. Who do they believe, though, will present the 10th red heifer? Well, this guy Maimonides, this old rabbi, believed the 10th and last red heifer is going to usher in the era of Messiah. Now, you and I know, wait a second, are they talking about Jesus, Yeshua? No. The coming lawless one. The 10th, he wrote, and the 10th will be brought by the king Mashiach. May he speedily be revealed. Amen. So maybe it be God's will. That's what he wrote in the book that he wrote, Maimonides. How about our Messiah, Jesus, or Yeshua? What did he say about these times? Here's what it says. Hopefully you can read this on the screen. And you can turn there if you wish, but I want you to know where this is. When the disciples of Jesus, prior to Jesus going and dying on a cross, in Matthew chapter 24, this is the chapter also in the Gospels, one of the main ones to read, to know, and to understand about end times prophecy. They asked Jesus end times prophecy questions. He's going to respond and answer his disciples, the Jews. And what does he say in Matthew 24, verse 15? You can see it here on the screen or display. Therefore, when you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet standing in the holy place. And then Matthew puts in what we call a parenthetical statement. In other words, Jesus didn't say this. It's like we call it an aside. Like say if you're a reporter reporting on the scene, hi, this is Drew Sagawa with New York News. And then you turn the side and you're like, you got to listen to what this guy's saying. It's an aside. This is what he's doing, reporting on and quoting Jesus. He says, whoever reads, let him understand. What does that mean? You must go back to Daniel's book and take a look because he's giving you the key. This is the key for end times Bible prophecy. So in quoting Yeshua, Matthew tells us we need to understand Bible prophecy in Daniel about what's called the abomination of desolation. We'll get into that in a little bit. But continuing on, when you do go back to Daniel's book and take a look, here's what it is. Daniel 9, verse 27. This is still future to you and I today. By the way, the angel Gabriel appeared to Daniel, and in Daniel 9, verses 24 to 27, outlines, this is one of the keys, again, as Jesus is saying, he'll go back to Daniel and look at this thing called the abomination of desolation. Here's your answer, disciples, for when is this end time scenario going to come about? Daniel 9, verse 27 is, that verse for you and I today is still future. It says, then he shall confirm a covenant with many for 1 week. This is speaking of the future coming one. There's going to be a man that's going to come that some people call the Antichrist, that the Jews will call Messiah. He's going to be a false Messiah. He's going to make a 7-year covenant with Israel. He's going to confirm a covenant with many for 1 week, but in the middle of the week, or 3.5 years into the covenant, he shall bring an end to sacrifice and offering. So think about this, Christian. If this coming lawless one that's in the future is going to bring an end to sacrifice and offering, what does that mean? Sacrifice and offering has to start up, right? It's got to begin again, and it hasn't yet. That means there's going to be a third temple in Jerusalem on the Temple Mount. Amen? It will be so. Now, on the wing of abomination shall be one who makes desolate, even until the consummation, which is determined, is poured out on the desolate. All right. So the temple can only be built in Jerusalem on the Temple Mount. Now, I'm going to show you something that I need to describe a little bit. I can't go in depth and detail. We've done many classes here in the, you know, in the years gone by. Even when I do prophecy updates, we'll look at this. So Daniel, in Daniel 9, verse 27, gives you an end times 7-year period. This is still future to us today. Don't let anybody lie to you. Okay? Because there's some Christians that will say, no, this is already been fulfilled. No. This is still future. Because God is not a liar, and these things were prophesied and have not been fulfilled yet. So we call this Daniel's 70th week. Daniel prophesies the first 69 weeks or period of 7 years. It starts from there's going to be a time where a command is given to restore and build Jerusalem. That's already chronicled in the book of Nehemiah. When you count the days off to the exact day, not one day early, not one day late, what is going to happen? Daniel tells us, or in his book from the angel Gabriel prophesying, we're told the exact day when the king, when Messiah is going to be announced, where? In Israel. And he came in. What do we call that day, Christians? Palm Sunday. That's why we celebrate that every springtime. Palm Sunday, the day of the triumphal entry of Yeshua Messiah. So there's this period, this nondescript period of time, which we live in right now, between when Jesus came into Jerusalem, almost 2,000 years ago, and when the future, this 7-year period called Daniel's 70th week or Daniel's 70th seven is going to begin. This is still future. There's a coming 7-year period. So according to the prophecy in Daniel's book, there's going to be a 7-year covenant that's going to be made by the one that many call Antichrist. He's going to make this with Israel. Now, you and I know, you're hearing about prophecy all the time, future prophecy coming out of this pulpit and from many Calvary chapels. And rightly so, we need to. We need to study the Bible and know the Bible, where we are today, what's been, and what is still yet to be fulfilled. We need to know. Amen? But for years, as we share about, hey, there's going to be this thing coming where there's going to be a 7-year peace treaty or 7-year covenant made between the Antichrist and Israel. That sounded far-fetched. Anybody think that sounds far-fetched? I remember years ago when I'd hear that growing up, going to Calvary chapels and listening to other Bible-teaching churches, you would hear about that. I remember myself hearing about these things like the 1970s first, and then the 80s started to learn more, and the 90s I really jumped in like, okay, I can see this thing happening. But it still sounded kind of far away. People will tell my kids, maybe not in my lifetime, maybe in your lifetime you see these things. I don't know, but still we have to prepare. Jesus is coming back. Like Crystal Lewis saying, Jesus is coming. People get ready. Soon we'll be going home. But now, within the last couple years, we see that this does not sound like it's so crazy. This does not sound like it could be way, way in the future. This sounds like this could probably happen in the next month. Where you hear someone come on the scene, it's like, hey, wait, let me go and broker a deal. And once you start to hear about something like maybe a 7-year period, start to realize, wow, interesting. So maybe because of this covenant that's going to be made in the future, the 7-year peace treaty with Israel, maybe because of that covenant, the temple will be rebuilt and the Jews will be able to reinstate sacrifices and offerings. But again, what's the key right now that the Jews need? It's not rebuilding the temple so much. It's not building up the priesthood, because they're already being built up and trained now, is not even the furnishings in the temple as described in the scriptures. It's the red heifer. That's the key that they need. This is why we need to keep an eye on this. And God knows, and he's the one keeping this under control. So sacrifices and offerings are going to be restated in the future. Israel will be able to offer purification to people. It'll be interesting how they might announce it. I don't know if we'll be here or not. But they're going to be announcing purification to people, not just Jews, but many say and speculate they may offer this as a solution. You hear about all these weird things going around the globe, right? COVID, all the weird things going right now in the future that's coming down the pipe. But it's only through the red heifer water, this water for purification, that people can be purified, at least biblically, as far as what Scripture shows. Remember, that was the water that Jesus turned to wine in John chapter 2, the red heifer water. So 3.5 years into this 7-year covenant with Israel, the Antichrist, he's going to go into the temple and declare himself to be God. We believe our Bibles, which we do, we realize, hey, that means there must be a temple. That means that sometime after the temple is built, there's got to be one called the Antichrist, as some call him, or Son of Perdition, that gets revealed. But when, if you look at the timeline here on the display, in the middle, in the red, that's the event called the Abomination of Desolation. It's a big term. Jesus referred to that. Just remember that, okay? And you can read about that again in Matthew 24, verse 15. When that occurs, the 3.5 years that occur after that time, the last half of the 7-year covenant, that technically is what you and I call the Great Tribulation. So don't let anybody deceive you. Some people say and talk about the 7-year Great Tribulation. No. There's going to be a 7-year period after this one that some call Antichrist, the false Messiah. He goes into this Jewish temple on the Temple Mount. He'll declare himself to be God. And Jesus says in Matthew 24, when you see that happen, what did he say for the Jews to do? Run. He's not speaking to the Gentiles. He's talking to, as a Jew, talking to his disciples, which are Jewish, and we know we say biblically, we're on Jewish ground, because in Matthew 24 and on, when he says that this thing, when you see it happen, the abomination of desolation, he tells you in the next verse, flee, run, he says, pray that it doesn't happen on Sabbath. Now, Gentiles would go, what, why does it matter? Exactly, Gentiles don't care about a Sabbath, but Jews cannot run on a Sabbath, can they? They can't. So he says, pray that it doesn't happen on the Sabbath. So when you're studying Matthew 24, we would say, know that you're standing on Jewish ground when you interpret it. All right, so when that happens, this thing called the Great Tribulation, this is where Revelation chapter 6 through chapter 18 fits in. Revelation 6 through Revelation 18, that describes the Great Tribulation. Read it and study it and tell all your friends and family, especially people that aren't saved, and Christians that are like nominal in their walk, share with them. Okay, so they maybe get more on fire. But as you're reading and studying Revelation 6 through 18, you might want to turn to someone that maybe is your friend and say, hey, this isn't going to happen to me, but you need to know this, because if you're not going to receive Messiah Jesus, you may be here alive going through this time. I'm not going to be here on earth during this time, but you're going to need to know. Revelation 6 through 18, that's the Great Tribulation. That's where it fits in God's end times prophecy timeline. And guess what? The second coming, the rapture of the church, is not the second coming of Jesus Christ. Those are two separate, two distinct events. The rapture of the church is where Jesus comes out of heaven, comes to the clouds. Sound of the last trumpet, we who are alive and remain, we're going to be raptured, if you want to call it that. You can use whatever term you want. We're going to meet Jesus and the saints, so to speak, those that have died before us, in the clouds above the air. The first coming of Jesus, when he was birthed into this earth, when he set foot on the ground. The second coming of Jesus Christ is when he sets foot on the ground the second time. The rapture of the church, Jesus never sets foot on the earth again. Not for a second time. At the second coming of Jesus Christ, which is Revelation chapter 19, after the Great Tribulation. And again, that's Revelation 6 through 18. Revelation chapter 19, you see here with the blue arrow coming down, That's the second coming of Jesus Christ. And who's going to be following Jesus out of heaven, riding horses? Who? We are the church, the armies of heaven. That's not speaking of angels. That's going to speak of you and I. So if you can't ride a horse, I guess he's going to teach you. Okay. So that is the second coming of Christ. All right. We can go a lot more into this. We're not going to do that today. We're just doing an overview and a brief update. So here's what he says in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. This is Paul writing to another church in another book. Let no one deceive you by any means, for that day, notice capital D, it speaks of the day of the Lord, the end times scenario. It's not one literal 24-hour day. It's an end times period, end times scenario. For that day will not come unless the falling away comes first, the great apostasy. Christians, ladies and gentlemen, church, have we seen in the past years especially, is there a great falling away from Christ in the Christian faith? Even so-called Christians like, oh, I don't need church. I don't need to go. Well, you say you're saved. I follow Jesus. No, I know you're not following Jesus because he would tell you, don't forsake the assembling together, the saints. That's happening. Okay, it's happened more in our lifetimes than previous generations. So it says, unless a falling away comes first, a great apostasy, people falling away from the Christian faith, and the man of sin is revealed. That's the one we call Antichrist, or some call Antichrist, the son of perdition. It's another title. Verse 4, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he sits as God. Listen to this. He sits as God in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. That's 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 4. That has never happened. Nobody today, nobody in all of history went into the Jewish temple, declared himself to be God like this. So this man of sin, the son of perdition, will be revealed, a.k.a. Antichrist. He's going to enter the temple of God. He'll sit as God, showing himself that he is God. He'll be standing in the holy place. That's the inner courts. And so some speculate this might be an end-time scenario person. Perhaps it'll be a Jewish man. I don't know. Because the Jews obviously are waiting for a Messiah that's Jewish. All right. So here's a hint for eschatology, for you students of Bible end times prophecy, also called eschatology. It hasn't happened. It's never happened. So the only one who came close was someone named Antiochus Epiphanes. I have some friends. God bless them. They have a right to be wrong, I believe. They believe that, oh, this is already fulfilled. Antiochus Epiphanes went in. He desecrated the temple, sacrificed a pig. Some say made some of the Jews eat the pig, defiled the temple. But he didn't go into the temple and declare himself to be God. He wasn't standing in the holy place, sitting as God, showing himself that he is God. In other words, God's word is accurate. This has not happened. And because there's no physical temple right now, we know, A, there's got to be a temple built. B, there'll be a coming lawless one, an antichrist, the man of sin, the son of perdition revealed, who make this peace treaty, so to speak, this covenant with Israel for 7 years. And one thing that they need, again, the key that the Jews need in order to have this temple be built, to sacrifice and get rid of their sin, to offer up the offerings, what's the key that they need? The red heifer. This is why we want to study and know Numbers chapter 19. So at the time of this thing called Abomination of Desolation, there's going to be an end to daily sacrifices and offerings in the temple. And again, what would that therefore mean? The precursor to that is that there would be daily sacrifices and offerings. It says in Daniel 9 verse 27, but in the middle of the week he shall bring an end to sacrifice and offerings. It also says in Daniel 11 verse 31, then they shall take away the daily sacrifices. Going further, Daniel 12 verse 11, and from that time that the daily sacrifice is taken away. So the Jews would do a daily sacrifice, the regular daily ministrations that the Jewish priests would do. They would do it for themselves, but also the nation, all of Israel, all the people. They're going to reinstate that. They can't. But they're reading through Torah right now, building up and training up a priesthood to get ready for this. Why? Because for them, especially if they have the red heifer and like a perfect red candidate that's at least 3 years old, they want to do this as soon as they get consensus. They want to be able to do this. And what does that mean right away? that there'd be tons of Jews and others clamoring. It's like, I need purification. So they need to train up the priesthood. So there's going to be daily sacrifices. But like Jesus said, when you go back to Daniel's book and take a look at this, of this thing called the abomination of desolation, the most abominable thing, there's going to be sacrifices that will be reinstated, but they're going to be taken away when this time comes. So here's what he said again in Matthew 24, verse 15. Therefore, when you see the abomination of desolation, spoken of by Daniel the prophet, standing in the holy place, whoever reads, let him understand. And verse 16 says, then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. So Jesus is telling the Jews, you need to know this, Christian. Because when Jesus says this in Matthew 24, verse 16 and on, we need to know the word. But verse 16 and on in Matthew chapter 24 does not apply to us. Why? We're not going to be here when that happens, when this abomination of desolation happens. You need to know this, know this, know this. So with your Jewish friends especially, you could share this verse with them. So when they see this happen, because this may quite likely happen in our lifetimes, you could tell them, hey, you need to go back and read Matthew 24. I don't care what you think about Yeshua not being Messiah. We hold that he is. But when this one that you will receive, that the Jews at large and Israel receives as their Messiah, and the world will receive as Messiah, when you see him go into this Jewish temple built on the Temple Mount, 3.5 years into this 7-year peace treaty he makes or brokers with Israel, you'll need to know that Yeshua is Messiah, and he's telling you what to do in verse 16. What does he say? Run, flee, and pray doesn't happen on Sabbath. So he's telling the Jews to flee. So the Gospels, does Jesus have a word even for Jews today? Yes, that's a good one, right? Matthew chapter 24. Show that to them. Read that with them if they're able to. So think about this. We're going to get back to our passage. And it's like, oh, okay, Drew, we're going through this a lot. There's like so much more. But I want you guys to be prepared. I want you to know the word. I don't think God allowed me to study and know these things for myself, that he wants me to share these things with you and with others. And you and I can share these things with the world. Amen? We need to. That's the reason why 3 years ago I put up the YouTube videos. I realized, just knowing and studying under some guys in Calvary Chapel, there's some guys that would be great with these things, but they don't do YouTube videos. And a lot of other pastors, they don't dig in depth with things like the red heifer, like I love doing, and showing you know, like these slides and all these kinds of things. You're like me, you probably need to see timelines of pictures. And so I just felt compelled. I was like, God, okay, I just got to do this. And now I see there's like tons of people watching it, because right now especially, Christians are very oblivious to this, and it's there in our Bibles. The Jews, the Orthodox Jews, are studying this, and they're waiting for this coming. Hopefully, we'll see it in our lifetime, but they're looking for the coming Messiah. They don't believe it's Yeshua, but they will at some point. And they're looking for this coming 10th and what many believe is the last red heifer. Okay, it's going to usher in the era, as you say, the era of Messiah. So the temple, it might be close to being built. Many Jews are expecting Messiah soon. And if so, he may be the one to present the red heifer to the world. That means if this happens very soon in our lifetime, does this mean that the one that many claim to call Antichrist or the son of perdition, this man of sin, he's alive right now somewhere in the world? Pretty interesting. So we need to remember, let's go back to 1 Corinthians 7, verse 29. The time is short. Time is wrapped up already. I'm sorry if I'm not, it's not me. I'm not killing your plans for your 5-year goal, your lifetime goal. I want to be a millionaire before I die, Drew. You just take that up with God. Okay? Whatever are your plans, just trust him for today. Trust him for tomorrow. Amen? Okay? Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. All right. So back here in 1 Corinthians 7 now, verse 30. And we're going to have to just close in just a bit. We'll probably have to continue and end the chapter later on. Verse 30, he says, those who weep as though they did not weep, those who rejoice as though they did not rejoice, those who buy as though they did not possess. And check this out in verse 31. We'll just close in verse 31. And those who use this world as not misusing it, notice he says, for the form of this world is passing away. Again, time is already wrapped up, just like the body of Ananias. It's already wrapped up. It's already dead and gone. It's already about to be fulfilled. So the form of this world is passing away. This word form is the word schema. Schema, schematic. The schematic of this world, what you and I see around us, and the way that this world is, the shape of it, the schematic of this world is passing away. Hold lightly, hold loosely to the things of this world. And look forward to eternity with Jesus Christ. Amen? All right, so in other words, as if Paul is saying here, time is all wrapped up already. And the schematic of what you and I know that this world is about, it's about to pass away. So the reality is that Paul's addressing the fact that, yes, we're living in the end times. If you're married, you're not going to be able to focus totally on serving the Lord. Okay? That's the context of what he's getting at. Yes, singles can get married. Yes, if you're married, stay married. But realize this, time is all wrapped up. The schematic of this world is about to pass away. You're not going to be able to focus totally on serving the Lord. And that's the heart of context of what he gets at. We'll have to finish later on. Let's all stand, please. Anyway, you guys, thank you. You've been very patient with me here. Again, if you want to go in-depth more, you can either ask me or you can search on YouTube. Look for that video about the red heifer and the end times. It's about 10 minutes long. It goes over in-depth of why the red heifer, where it is in Scripture, and what the Jews are looking for. So those things still apply today. But again, to conclude and close, we may this year in 2024, we may hear about the Jews in Israel. You'll know because it'll be a big announcement. And the gentleman, Byron, from Bone Israel in Texas, he's mentioning in a recent video how they're trying to work with making it so that when they do this ceremony, that it could be streamed live or streamed somehow so that everybody in the world could see. It's like, whoa, that's... So using current technology, pretty neat. You might hear about it this year. If not, well, just trust the Lord. The Lord is in control. He knows when this 10th and final red heifer will come about. And remember, the red heifer is not what we study so much. It's a great picture to point us to Jesus, Messiah. Through him, we are purified. Through him, we are cleansed. Through his work and who he is, and he still wants to cleanse and heal hearts today. Amen. So, Father, we thank you for what you show us in your holy word. Help us to realize that the time is short and it's all wrapped up already. The schematic of this world is passing away. So help us, Lord, as we do make plans for the future, help us to see, though, what you say in your word. Help us to anticipate and expect the soon return of Jesus, that the rapture of the church will happen. It could even happen later today. There's nothing else, it seems, in prophecy that has to be fulfilled before you come back for your bride, Jesus. So, Father, we ask, can you please continue to give us hope, continue to encourage our hearts, and help us, Lord, not just to learn these things for ourselves, but to even share these things with the world. For we do ask, we pray in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen.